You're listening to Season 3, Episode 2 of Talk and Rock with GMH.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talk and Rock with GMH.
Hello and welcome to the podcast where we talk rock. It is great to be back for another episode. So what we're going to do now that we're back, is do episodes every other Friday. That is the schedule we are going to roll with for now, and we'll see if we can start having weekly episodes, but for now, we're going to have an episode every other week. Now, this interview coming up today, I was super excited to do, and we actually were planning originally to have this one out a lot earlier, because you'll notice in the interview, we talk about their most recent tour in February and March, so my apologies on that end. However, it is still a really, really great and interesting interview with the lead vocalist Steve from the band Belvedere. I had the pleasure of seeing these guys open up for Mad Caddies at the Park Theater in Winnipeg. And they are seriously such a talented punk band. It was awesome. It was really awesome to see them. I won't keep you waiting. Without further ado, here's the interview.
All right, I'm super excited for today's interview. So today we are talking to the singer and guitar player from what at least I think is a pretty legendary Canadian punk band. I'll let you introduce yourself and your band, so go ahead.
Hi, my name is Steve, and I play in a band called Belvedere.
Awesome. So, Belvedere, firstly, I want to sort of backtrack a little bit to the start, I guess, of your guys' career. Let me firstly just ask, though, before we get into that, how did you personally get into music?
Well, I started playing piano when I was, eight or nine. Mm-hmm. And then I think when I was 13 or 14, I got sick of playing piano and I wanted something a little louder. So I started taking up guitar. I'd done some, like, you know, like all the kids kind of at the time were in some kind of singing or choral or something like that in elementary school. And my dad had a pretty steady stream of music around, whether it be at home or just like on road trips and stuff, we'd always be listening to stuff. So that was kind of my introduction to music. Had an uncle that was really into like Kiss and Sweet and stuff like that. So I got a dose of that as well. Nice. So that kind of got me, you know, I guess at the background behind it. And then, yeah, once I really started playing guitar at 14, you know, I just started looking for people to play music. And in high school, I had some buds. None of us were very good at what we did. We just kind of putzed around and put some, when I finished high school and kind of went into college, that's when I started Belvedere. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, pretty, I don't want to say crappy, but we were new.
Yeah.
And we hadn't really like figured out our scene. So it took a little while and then we just kind of progressed from there.
Mm-hmm. So I guess sort of adding on to that, specifically at the start of Belvedere, how did that come around and how did those original group of guys come together to start playing?
So I used to go to this record store called Megatunes in Calgary. This is in 94, maybe 95. Okay. And I met this guy named Brock, who wanted to play bass. He played bass in a few different bands. And him and I, we found this guy that I played that was in high school with me. His name was Dan. He was a year younger than me. Mm-hmm. The three of us just started jamming. And it was funny. We jammed in Dan's basement. And I kind of just got defaulted as the singer because nobody else wanted to.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'll try this. And then it was funny because we didn't really have a PA. We had like, you know, everybody was a pretty light player at that time. And so we had this little pig nose amp that I would plug my vocal mic into. Mm-hmm. And so I got really good at yelling pretty early on because I had to, otherwise nobody would hear it. So this pig nose amp. And so we just kind of jammed a little bit. And I was running a record company called Hourglass Records. And so I just thought that I was going to be like the guy behind the band, you know, just helping bands out, helping bands in our scene.
Right.
And I remember we played a show with Gob. It was in 95 and it was our first all ages show. And it just like a switch went off and I just went, whoa, like playing shows is rad. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, by 2001, 2002, the band had sort of gotten to the point where it was my main focus. mm-hmm. and the label had kind of taken a second place.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And in terms of those earlier shows, when was it that you first actually got into touring and hitting the road, if you remember?
I guess I shouldn't say that was our first show. There was a show we played on a pirate ship at this bar on 17th Avenue, and I remember there was smoke coming out of it. I think the only people that were at my show at the show was like our college buddies and stuff. But yeah. The next real show, I guess, was with Gob. Anyways, we started touring, I would say, pretty early on, like 96. We were starting to do like weekend stuff, you know? Yeah. We were going to Regina and Swift Current and Medicine Hat. And I think our first basement show was in Regina in 96 or 97.
Oh, sick.
And then it just kind of expanded. Like at that point, some members had changed. The other two guys weren't working out, and Scott and Jay joined the band in 98. Tim, before that, was playing bass for a little while too, as this jazz guy I knew in high school. And so, we just kind of started, everybody's kind of in college at that point. So it was like weekend stuff, you know, we would just every weekend we go south, east, west. And then we did this little, like, you know, we did this tour in the Western U.S. And we would do this thing where we paired up with bands and we would just go in one van, share gear and go across and into the States. And so that kind of led to a few of those. And it's just like kept building and building and building before you knew it, you know, it just kind of become like what we did.
Yeah. And so sort of going on to, I guess, from there, if this was before that, when it came to your first time recording a record, what was that experience like for you guys?
So my first experience, I was putting out a compilation, and it was us, Downway, and Big Daddy Ritter.
Mm.
And they were all just like local Calgary bands.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, we could put together four songs. So we put together four songs. Right? And so that's what we recorded that. We did that in like a couple days or something. It might have even just been one day.
Yeah.
Like tracking, mixing, you know, and I think it was like the same thing. All the bands had a day or two. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of put out this four band compilation. And I remember that pretty vividly because it was just, you know, it's just all new, right? Like I was 18, I think, at the time. And it was just like hearing your own stuff, hearing your own voice. I'm still trying to find my voice, find out what that all means. And but it was cool.
Awesome. And if we're looking at, like, I mean, I'm not from Calgary, so I don't really know.
No, you're from Winnipeg.
Yeah, I am from Winnipeg. So, and I'm also probably much younger, so let alone Winnipeg's music scene. In terms of Calgary's scene at the time when you guys were just starting to play, did you ever find it difficult within your own music scene to be a band at the time? Or do you feel like you sort of were able to sort of slide into the scene?
I think, like, you know, at the time you don't think about it, but I definitely know that we got some help in the early beginnings. Like, because I was putting out records from Downway, they had sort of established from their other bands, like, you know, a list of shows and promoters that they were kind of already doing, and they had a decent following at the time. Friend Jeff Robertson put us on that Gob show, I remember, originally. And, like, you know, if you think about it, like, that was a big you know, up for us to do that at that, you know, that stage of our career. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were just a kid band, we didn't have a career, but you know, so we definitely had some help there. And because I was running the label, I had some contacts. You know, people were eager to help, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So I would say in Calgary, like, and at that time, I'd say from the mid 90s to early 2000s, I mean, it was pretty great, like, time to be in Calgary at the time. Like, there was a really supportive all ages scene, and the bar scene was starting to burgeon because everybody was getting older. And so you kind of could play two shows almost in one day or one weekend. You could play an early show and then play a late show, and it was a different crowd, which was awesome.
Yeah.
My first time playing in Winnipeg was with Downway. We split our van. We jumped in there. We barely made it home, which is, that's a whole other story. But we played, I remember we played at the Albert, and then we played this show next door. I don't think the club's there anymore, but I want to say that not many people were there, like 5 people or 10 people or something. But I do remember one of the guys from Small Man Records came out. And then I think we played with that band 12 Eyes in Calgary that year, and they were from Winnipeg too. So I was pretty big into Winnipeg bands at that time because I was, you know, listening to Propaganda and I Spy and stuff like that. Yeah. So I was pretty pumped just to be there.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, bands like those, especially, we're pretty proud of like Propagandy coming from Winnipeg and stuff like that. And it's still cool to have big shows like that coming through here as well. Now, in terms of stuff that you're sort of working on now, you're heading out on a tour fairly shortly with the Mad Caddies. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah. We just actually got back from Europe in November with them, and we did like Ontario and Quebec last year. So this is kind of our shot to sort of do the West together. Mm-hmm. We did a full Canadian tour with them in 2001, and that's where we met. Right. We've been friends ever since. And so that's something that we have looking forward to. It starts in Victoria, and then we have two shows in Winnipeg to finish. And then from there, we go down to the U.S. For a couple weeks on our own. So yeah, there's lots of good stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself like just, I guess, throughout your whole career, do you find a difference crossing over to the U.S., a big difference when it comes to playing shows, or not so much?
I mean, we toured the U.S. a lot from, I would say, probably 97 to probably 2002. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. Like, it was, and I know a lot of bands share this, even bands that are from the U.S.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's big gaps between the scenes, between the West Coast, East Coast, Midwest, South. Like, everyone kind of has their own little area. And so it is a struggle. They get a lot of stuff there, and it's hard sometimes for a little Canadian band to try to like make any kind of a splash. So, mm-hmm. Often, like, I booked a lot of tours on Book Your Own Fucking Life, which originally was a magazine for Maximum Rock and Roll and then turned into a website. I booked mostly basement shows or like keg parties, or like backyard parties at frat houses and stuff like that. Whoever would take us, because I would say out of a whole month tour, we maybe played two real venues. Everything was like basement shows or whatever.
Right.
And that's what we did for years and years. And I just got to the point where it was like, it just didn't feel like we were doing anything. You go out and you'd like to be the same five people getting wasted. And like, it just, it was kind of tough. We did have some good shows there, and we definitely got some help. Like Kevin Lyman from Warped Tour gave us some dates a couple of years in a row. The Suicide Machines took us across the States and Canada.
That's
so we did have like, and not that like bigger shows are where it's at. Like, we had some great basement shows in front of 20 people, but it was a long, slow road for sure. And, there were some times where we did like 90 days and 100, like 90 shows in 100 days,
mm-hmm.
all Canada, every Southern US, every lower 48 state, right. We had a show in every little turd town. In every, Like, it just got to be where like we go away for so long and come back, and it's like, wow, like, was that worth it? I don't know. But I think like in 2001, 2002, that's when things kind of started picking up. We were getting pretty good support tours by that point, but we were doing pretty good on our own. Started going to Europe, and then things kind of flowed that way, where it was like, Japan and Europe and South America and a lot of Canada and stuff. I'd always wanted to come back to the States because I felt like the band had kind of built in the meantime since then. And right. I was happy to see that when we went back in August, and we did our own shows, and it was kind of like, there was a couple of ones that weren't great, but most of them were kind of like, 50, 75, 100 people. So it was like, okay, they're all there to see our band, what I mean? So it's not just like, oh, I just happened to walk in. Like, it was, and so for me, that's enough. Like, I'm not too obsessed with numbers. I'm just happy that people are there to see the band. So we are going to go back down there again in March, and we're going to do the West Coast this time. And I'm super stoked about it, because people keep asking us, come down. I'm like, all right. And now we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's sick. So I want to ask you about, I'm not sure the exact year, if it was 2005 or sometime around there, but Belvedere took a little bit of a break.
It was more than a break. We screwed up hard.
Yeah. Okay. Can I ask about that, or how sure. sort of that was handled at the time?
It was probably handled poorly. We just split up. We had a rough tour in the West of Canada, and at that point, we were doing, I keep saying it's a lot, 175 to 225 shows a year. Like, it was just stupid. Like, we were gone all the time.
Right.
And it was a pretty toxic environment for everybody. Like, it was, you kind of feel like your life slipping away. You don't really like the people that you're in the band with by that point.
Yeah.
So we split, and, and that was it. We kind of made this announcement. We did some final shows that kind of brought things up you know, brought people's mood up a little bit. We did a bunch of stuff in Ontario, Quebec, and then we did a final show in Calgary. Mm. And like people drove from like all over the States and Canada. People flew in from Japan for the show. It was crazy. And I really thought that was it. I thought like, you know, okay, I'm over it. Everybody walked out of there and didn't say a word to each other. Mm-hmm. And so in the meantime, I started this as a standoff with my friend John and Graham from Belvedere. Yep. And that was just supposed to be a fun thing. And then, you know, three records later, 7 year up tours, all this stuff, you know, it became like our little thing again. So, but yeah, by 2012, standoff was kind of becoming a bit stale because everybody was in different parts of the country.
Right.
And then there, you know, we started talking, the Belvedere guys started talking again and it was supposed to be a small run of reunion shows, just Brazil, Europe and Canada, but then well, here we are.
Yeah. And, sort of looking back on that, how does it feel to sort of look back and see that, I mean, even though you guys did split up, you came back together and now you're still playing shows and it seems like really enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty great. Like you don't think about it. Like, you know, I'm almost 48 now. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, I would have never thought that a band that I started when I was 18 would still be around at 47. 47 sounded like a grandpa when I was 18, right? So that seems funny. But at the same time, I still feel like I'm 20. So it doesn't feel like time is moving that fast. Mm-hmm. You know, this just kind of feels like the same thing. But I appreciate everything that we do. I kind of know, I've said this before, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But I kind of feel like more is behind me now than in front of me. And so in terms of playing music and so or at least live, and so I kind of always like say, like, you know, this time that we're in, you know, Japan, this could be the last time. So I try to like smell the roses a little bit, appreciate how lucky we are anyways, but just like how lucky we are to still be doing this. I think that's really great.
Yeah, totally. So your last album was put out in 2021. Do you have any visions for recording some new music down the road?
There's been some loose chatter over the last year, but there hasn't really been a lot of progress. Like we've kind of said, okay, well, we really enjoyed how the last record came out, but we're not going to just crank one out just because why not? It has to be really good. So everyone's sort of been tasked to do some writing on their own. And then when we feel like everybody's got some stuff to bring, then we'll start jamming it out. And once we start doing that, it'll go pretty quick. At least that's what I've found in my experience. But
yeah,
I need to feel personally that I'm bringing a lot right now, because I'm so busy booking all these other bands because I run a booking agency as well.
Right.
So I'm just, I just can't focus on it right now. But I find that when I'm able to make the time and the inspiration starts to happen, it'll go quick.
Yeah. So I want to quickly take a step off of Belvedere for a second to you just mentioned talking about booking shows for you. Mm-hmm. When did you start getting into that, or did that come naturally with, I mean, playing in a band and having to book shows?
Well, I started booking shows in 95 because nobody would book my band.
Okay.
And then we ended up getting a few booking agents in Europe and Canada, and there, it was fine. We had one in the US for a little while. But when I kind of came back, mostly with the standoff stuff too, that's when I started like getting a little better at like booking overseas stuff, like Europe and stuff. That would have been, I guess, 07, 08. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, most of the Belvedere stuff I was kind of putting together like when we came back. So it eventually led to, you know, maybe it was like 5 or 6 years ago where I started merit-based booking. And before that, people were telling me, like, you should really get into like booking bands or management. I was like, it sounds awful. I fucking hate booking shows.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, maybe I don't hate booking shows. And so, I started with this small band, Wolfric from Edmonton, and a band called La Armada from Chicago.
Cool.
And that was our little roster. And then I started building, you know, all of a sudden, much the same, needed to go to Europe. You know, Cigar needed a booking agent. Like it just kind of ballooned from there. And now we've got 25 bands. Some European, US and some Canada bands, and it's going really good. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you also book this upcoming tour for you guys, or I guess with your upcoming tour with the Mad Caddies?
Yeah, I booked the Mad Caddies in Canada, so I put this together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, and then I booked Strung Out in Europe. I got Authority Zero in Europe and Canada as well. Cigar, much the same. Veneria, Satanic Surfers, I've been booking them for quite a long time. No Fun at All in Canada. So there's lots of bands. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you've played hundreds of shows just over the years. Is there, I mean, I'm sure it would be very difficult to select one, but really looking back on it, is there a specific memory that stands out to you at this moment from either a tour or a show throughout your career?
It's hard to really narrow it down to one, because I think at last count, we're probably at 1,600 or 1,700 shows played. That's just Belvedere.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first show I played in Japan. That was pretty amazing. We played with the Vandals and Useless ID. And I remember at that time, I just couldn't believe, like when you're a kid and you're kind of thinking about playing bands, I thought, man, it'd be great if we could play the States someday. I maybe thought, man, it'd be great if we could play Europe one day. But I don't think I ever thought that we'd ever play Japan. It just seems so different and far away. And when I was there, that was really special.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, touring with Bad Religion across Canada in 99, those really were cool. Very big and super cool shows, and that's where we met Strung Out as well. I know, like for me personally, I think when we came back in 2012, we did a small run of shows in Ontario and Quebec, and we were really lucky to have a Willem Scream be the main support on the shows. And I remember at the time the promoter's like, okay, we're going to do it at the Opera House in Toronto. And I was like, there's no fucking way we're going to do the Toronto, you know, the right. Opera House in Toronto. Way too big. He's like, no, I think we can do it. We'll just do one show in Southern Ontario and I think it'd be rad. And he was right. And it sold out. And a big, you know, reason was because of the Willem Scream, I'm sure. But it's just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, there's so many times that I played in Toronto in front of five people,
right.
Like over and over and over again. And you go, this is all it's ever going to be, you know? And it was pretty rad to get up there. And we played for almost 2 hours that night.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'll never forget that night.
When it comes to the amount of music you guys have probably written and put out over the years, when you play shows today, what goes into sort of like writing your set list, choosing the songs, or do you sort of have a standard thing that you've been going with for the last little while?
We've been kind of playing, I mean, we kind of mix it up a little bit, but we've been playing like we sort of have a 15 to 20 song set, depending on whether we're playing festivals or opening or whatever. And so we kind of, you know, filter it around. There's a few songs that we're probably always going to play, but I mean, like the band's probably has over 100 songs out there. There's a lot of them that aren't very good. It'll probably never be played live. So that's easy enough. Probably hack about half the catalog right there. So after that, it's just a matter of like, you know, how do you do this again? Like, you know, I haven't played this song in 20 years. Like, how does this go again? So I would like to bust out some new ones for this tour if I could, but I'm not sure if we'll be able to. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I'm going to sort of end it off here with this last question that I like to ask everybody that comes on the show. And that is, what would be your specific advice going to either new artists, musicians, or bands that are just trying to get their start out there?
There's three main ones. Number one is be nice. I know it sounds obvious, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that aren't very nice out there, and they don't tend to get anywhere. All the bands I know, and I've played with a lot of them, they've gotten as big as they have because of how nice they are to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a booking agent or a manager or another band or a fan or whatever, like that's like rule number one. If you can't pull that off, then don't play in a band. Number two would be just fucking play. Like go out there and go for it. Like you want to go play, go buy, you know, go rent a van, go buy a van, go get a bunch of your friends and go play. You're never going to get anywhere and you're never going to get good unless you start playing a shit ton and meeting people and like networking that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, that's probably the next one. And the third one is definitely like practice. You know, like bands get better with practice.
Yeah.
And so that seems like that's probably a pretty good way to, you know, like don't, there's probably other answers there too. Like don't get too hung up in your own scene, you know, like my bands are like, oh, I got to get big in my own scene. Like why? Like there's 500 other cities out there that you could probably play. Like you'll get big in your scene when you get big in other scenes.
Right.
So yeah, be nice, work hard, and get out there and have a good time.
Yeah. And for you guys, when you started venturing out, what was like the first city for you guys that sort of caught on to you guys and was almost like your second musical home?
Well, we were not very good in the beginning, so it took a while to get somewhere. But Swift Current, Saskatchewan was pretty rad to us, probably when they didn't have to be. But maybe a part of that was because not much was going through there at the time.
Okay.
It was always like Belvedere or Choke or Downway or someone like that. You know, that was all the shows that played in Swift Current. But man, those kids were so great. It was like, wow, we could go there. And like, there's like people there that are there really to see us. So, yeah, that stuck out for sure in the late 90s.
Yeah, awesome. So before we ended off, where can people find your social medias, your music, buy tickets to upcoming shows, that kind of thing?
Okay, well, I think if you go on, well, it depends on which generation you're from. If you're old like me, you probably go on Facebook. So Facebook has Belvedere Band on there. You can search that. If you're on Instagram, we've got a Belvedere Band official. And yeah, actually, we got a website too. BelvederePunkRock.com. That's where you can find all our stuff in one easy place.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Nice questions.
Thank you so much once again to Steve for coming on to the show. That was a really awesome interview, and I'm glad we were able to finally get that out. We recorded that interview back in February, and I'm so glad that we were finally able to get the podcast back and going. And he was actually the first person we interviewed, or I interviewed, since we took a break from the show. So that was a great way for me to get back into things. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out our Instagram page at Talkin' Rock Pod, or go check out our website, www.talkinrockpod.com, for more information and all the details on upcoming episodes. Thank you all so, so much. I'm your host, GMH, signing off.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.